my senior year, I was directing five shows, and there's a camera, obviously, in the control room, and I used to point to it and saying, ESPN, this is for you. Take one.
Hello and welcome to the Career Corner, where we answer your career cues. My name is Lucas Kaufman, and joining me today, we've got a very special guest, Scott Lozé, here to talk about and answer all your questions on sports media and post-production. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lucas. I very much appreciate being here.
So, Scott, to start things off, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Oh, God. Currently, I'm working, and I think it's been about 13 years staff with NBC Sports. Started with them actually back in 2000. My first foray into the world of NBC is with the Summer Olympics in Sydney, my first one that I went to. And I am a senior director of post-production editorial for NBC Sports. Started my career at ESPN right out of college, right out of Ithaca. And somehow through the long and winding road that is your career, I ended up staying in sports somehow.
So That's amazing, Scott. Getting a job at ESPN right out of school—that's got to be the dream for sports media.
Oh yeah.
So, can you share with us a little bit about your journey into the world of post-production in sports media and what drew you into that field?
100%. Great story. Out of Ithaca, as all my 4 years, because I was a Parkie, I loved being part of the television production process. Go Bombers! Absolutely. And I didn't know of what part. In fact, my senior year, I was directing five shows, and there's a camera, obviously, in the control room, and I used to point to it and saying, ESPN, this is for you. Take one, right? You know, I'd be that director guy. But of course, you don't get a director position when you graduate college right away. I was fortunate enough to work at ESPN for 3 years up in beautiful Bristol, Connecticut. A little bit of a drip of sarcasm.
I'm from Connecticut.
There you go.
I definitely get the sarcasm.
To understand really the background helps to know how I started at ESPN. ESPN broke our day into two parts of four, at 4 hours. I would do 4 hours of master control and then 4 hours of making their commercial reels. And then the next day I'd come in and do 4 hours of editing and then 4 hours of international master control. Very technical, learned my discipline of television, what a broadcast company was about, and learned everything. About a year into my career there was one sole editing position available. That person was only editing. Everybody else who was in the post-production side or just engineering side is what they call the technical side was doing 4 hours of this and 4 hours of that. That guy who was that one staffer left ESPN and became an editor at ABC in New York. And so this position opened up. And what did I want to do? I wanted to brown nose a little bit. And I said, I'm raising my hand. I want that position. So they brought me on and I was their one editor full time up until I couldn't go any further with my skill set. And I also didn't want Mondays and Tuesdays off working 4 p.m. until 2 in the morning every day. So I moved on from there. But ESPN was my launching pad to understand television and to get into post-production. It just happened. It's like anything. Timing and circumstance, those are the two.
Amazing. So sports, oftentimes, I'm not super invested in sports, so I don't know kind of all the intricacies, but I feel like sports are very often live broadcasted. What does it mean to be an editor for sports?
That is a great question. So yes, we watch live sports. We watch the shows that lead into the live sports, the pregame shows, for instance, everybody knows them, whether it's football or what have you. There's features on the athletes, everything that's not live that you say, hey, let's go talk with so-and-so athlete. There was an ENG shoot that had to do with electronic news gathering shoot, field shoot, right? You go out and you interview. Then you have to find the B-roll, the footage that accompanies what they're talking about. You have to present it in a way. You have to add music to it. It's not live. Now, during the game, there are times where we will say, like coming back after halftime, we're going to do a recap on a football game of the first and second quarter and only the major highlights. And we're going to do it to pounding music and we're going to show it in about 30 seconds. That's stuff that my team does. I organize the workflow. I hire the people for it, my staff people. I say, how do we get the footage in? How do we get it out? How do we edit it? What's your music? I work with the producers to make sure that they're all set up for success for the very quick turnaround during gameplay of any sport. I'm just using football as an example. But going into a sport, there's a lot of features on athletes. The first thing you see when they fade up, maybe the beautiful long shot of the arena or the stadium, but then it's like, hey, Sydney, Australia, where today is tomorrow, night is day, all that sort of stuff. That's an edited piece. A lot of that is what my team does.
Awesome. So are you editing something during the game and then playing it during that same game?
Absolutely. All the time. In fact, a little known hint, if you don't know this, NBC Sports, we did the production for Amazon's Thursday Night Football. It was us. So I had one of my editors in a big editing suite with a producer behind him, communicating to the remote truck in whatever city that Thursday Night Football game was in, getting the footage from the truck digitally into our facility at beautiful Stamford, Connecticut, using that, getting the music ready to go, hitting the beats, delivering it 25 minutes later.
Wow.
Yep. At the end of the third quarter or whatever it is. Yep. So it happens all the time.
So very fast turnaround there. And there, Scott, if you'd be up for it right now, I'd like to do a little, ask you to compare and contrast first, the differences or challenges that come with editing sports content compared to other types of media, and also the differences between editing like live sports and versus pre-recorded content.
The first biggest thing is the time consumption, right? Is when you are editing live sports, it's all about the quick turnaround. But we don't have people who are 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 years into the industry. These are seasoned professionals who've gone through the ranks already, who know the software, know the hardware. They know how to work with the back bench in order to make everything work as seamlessly as it can. It's quick. It's let's get it in there. Let's talk. Let's communicate. A good editor, somebody who's on my team, is really a co-producer of the piece. Yeah, they are not button pushers. They are creators. We create content, musicality, tonality, pace, shot selection, right down to the frame of what's used. Very quick turnarounds. And other times, and news is the same way, but I don't feel like covering blood and guts. I don't feel like it. If it bleeds, it leads. That's not my thing. I've worked for companies that do that. A Current Affair, Inside Edition. These are news shows that were very like that sort of thing. And when I was in the editing seat years ago, it's exactly part of what I covered. That was in my freelance world, my career to do. It's not the content I wanted to do. Now, running the team, coordinating all the efforts from soup to nuts of what they do and how they do it, it's all about how we make a cohesive whole in a sports very quick environment.
Yeah, awesome. So you've mentioned the quick turnaround and kind of what you might do during a live broadcast, but can you kind of walk us through your day-to-day? What does an average day look like for you?
Sure, 100%. Well, right now I'm knee deep in the head of prepping for the Olympics that will happen in Paris at the end of July, July 26th, for all those listeners who want to write it out in their calendar. We started 5 months ago preparing for this, from the 50-foot level to the 1-inch level, a huge undertaking. On paper, we say that if we can get 80% of the knowledge down, that's a lot. To think that we're going to get 100% understanding of what it's going to be like when the Olympics hits, you don't. So you accept that 80%. So I'm knee deep into the 57 different editors who will be entering from across the world into our facility in Stamford, Connecticut. Workflow. How are they working? What are they working on? Where's the footage? Where am I sending it? All workflows for each part, whether it's turnaround segments for all the networks or whether it's features for each of the networks. It's all about that coordination. So that's really where I'm headlong into it now, along with the normal job I have with all the sports that's on NBC at any given time of year. I also do the monthly schedule for all the editors, make sure that they are. And the biggest thing is, and here's the takeaway, I set my team up for success no matter what they're doing. I'm not successful unless they are successful and feel enabled and engaged. So I set up their monthly schedules about 3 weeks ahead of time. They know what they're going to do for the next month, their whole shifts. I make sure that each and every one of them, depending on which sport they're working on, understands clearly what their workflow is, where they're getting stuff, what they're doing, who they're working with, the shifts they are on, the day they are on and off. And it all starts with the programming schedule, understanding NBC Sports programming. Once I know that, then I can say, I know the needs. I work with the producers. I get it budgeted correctly. So I work with the finance. I work with engineering just in case any equipment goes down for any of my teams to do the job. And I work with my manager of post-production who reports to me in continued creation and adding to a one-stop Google-like shop. We call it OneNote, where you find all your info as a reference, anything you need to know post-production, we've created it. So you can literally go under our OneNote software and type in workflow or codec or whatever, and boom, that will come up. So we've worked on that. That's another thing we do on a daily basis. I budget for every sport, what their needs are, making sure that overtime is justified when it's not. I understand how the financial world works in our environment at NBC Sports. And being there for everyone on my team and playing a proactive role as a listener, troubleshooter, guide, and decision maker. I'm as good as my team is as they are successful.
Amazing. So Scott, it sounds like there's a lot more going on in post-production than just editing. And I feel like a lot of people either don't know anything about post-production or they have some misconceptions about post-production. So what do you want people to understand better about post?
Oof. To understand better about post, I can go back to the story. I remember walking with my dad in New York City and we passed a bar and we looked in the bar and I pointed out to my dad on the monitor in the bar or all the monitors in the bar and said, oh, look, Dad, there's something I put together when I was editing. Right now I'm managing it. And he goes, really? How long is that? And I said, it's about 30 seconds. And he goes, oh, that's not bad. And I said, yeah, it took me about a day to do. And he went, what? How does 30 seconds take a day to do? It's all the things that go into it. It's what you take for granted as air, that it's something you just need to take in to live. We do this in sports production all the time. And post-production is it takes many elements to put together something, whether it's graphics, whether it's music, whether it's picking the right music, whether it's getting a shot in and it's only a B+ shot that you're going to finish 3 hours later because you found something better or your production assistant found something better, to the pace, to the, hey, by the way, you're working with a producer behind you and co-producing a piece with their take on it. And sometimes you get to a point and you go, oh, I need to start over after editing about 28 seconds, but you're like, this isn't working. And those are only the short forms. The long forms, the same sort of thing. A lot of workflow that goes into it, a lot of communication. In a business that is communication, there's not always communication. That's the key here. Walk away with knowing you should communicate with people and ask questions. What's the old cliche, Lucas? Is there is no dumb question. There is no dumb question. Really, when you are asking a question, you are saying, I need to know something. Somebody who is in a position of knowledge should be able to say, bring it on each and every time. Bring your questions on. But people forget about it. They go, oh, it's just television, just something I'm watching in the background for my leisure to enjoy. Yeah, there's a full-time job in that. And we people I hire and I work with love what we do.
Amazing. Now, Scott, you mentioned that 30 seconds and how much time goes into that. And it's 30 seconds, but it's an exciting 30 seconds. You know, I'm not a big sports guy, but I watch the Super Bowl and the music, the graphics, I get very into it. So how does storytelling play a role in post-production in sports media? And how do you enhance the narrative and the broadcast through editing?
Huge, huge. Trust in your editor and work as a team with the editor and producer. It's all about the pacing. It's all about what's the idea here. A producer is going to come with you with content. So let me say that again. I'm working with a producer and I'm their editor. They're giving me the content of which to work and the storyline at a 50-foot view. I, as the editor, am bringing my skill set of the software, of the effects, of the music, of the B-roll, of all of the footage, of the pacing and experiences that I know to put this together. And that's really what it comes down to. All of those pieces come together and just hopefully send chills down your back when you're watching a Super Bowl. You're getting the chills because I've set you up to watch the Super Bowl and you're in for a treat and an experience, not just another, it's a 30-second thing and who cares? I can't wait for the commercials.
Yeah. So, Scott, With the rise of streaming services and social media, how has sports post-production evolved, and what opportunities does this present for professionals and yourself in this field?
Or challenges, Lucas. Here's the biggest one: aspect ratio of your final product, right? It used to be just like legacy. Let's go back in time. It used to be the television you looked at was more of a square than a rectangle that it is now. It used to be 4x3, which is the dimension. Now it's 16x9, right? It is HD, high definition. Yeah. If you go in marketing or social, where are you watching it, Lucas? You're watching it on your phone, right? You're watching it in how many times have you seen televisions that are now actually vertical? They are not horizontal.
Wow.
It's a thing. Marketers do this all the time. Sometimes you just want to show things on a one-to-one in a square. The delivery by which we do it. Content creators, we just create the content. How it gets shown is what streaming services and social media has changed, right? As well as in sports, we've always wanted to capture the viewer within 6 seconds. What you're doing has to blow their minds in a very small amount of time. That's always been there. So social didn't change that, and streaming services didn't change that. What they changed was how we deliver the varied formats and the ability to deliver them and utilize them very quickly in a fast environment. Recording on your phone, we have an app that provides the user the ability to send directly to a secure site that we at NBC Sports can pick up regardless of the file size and regardless of the flavor of that file. Regarding streaming sports and remote coverage at a course, a stadium, a park, is all about delivering content as fast as you can with negligible uptick in cost. Where we used to send people and equipment out to remotes and into a truck, we now save hotel, transportation, and per diem monies by hiring local personnel to come into our facility. And so the streaming simply means there's technology to allow that to happen, which also affords us the opportunity to make a whole lot more of the work in-house rather than sending people out. When I covered the Sydney Olympics, there were probably about 3,000 of us from NBC alone, from camera people to editors to producers to directors. Now we're sending out maybe 300. Why? Because here it is, 98% of the Olympic production on NBC Sports is done in Stamford, Connecticut.
Wow. That's incredible.
Thanks to technology. And who's benefited? Streaming services and social media, as well as us. But social media is all about how fast you can do things. And with digital and IP, very quick.
Yeah. So, Scott, what do you find most rewarding about your work in post-production for sports media? And how do you stay motivated in such a dynamic and ever-changing industry with social media and streaming just constantly progressing? How do you stay motivated?
It's a great question. For me, it's not about the sport or the rooting of my team. It's all about the teamwork and camaraderie at a very high level. I'm working with the best of the best. What jazzes me hands down, Lucas, is that I'm in a position of empowerment, which is different than a position of power. In other words, I am given the authority to make decisions, which I do for the betterment of my team at NBC. It's not just because I, Scott Lozay, say, this is what needs to happen. Somebody trusts me enough to set the team up for success and allow my team to know that they have value, which I do for the betterment of everyone. I'm in a position to guide, educate, listen, flex when I need to, communicate and finalize workflows and procedures that NBC Sports is now set up for success every day. This is how I am motivated. I'm as good as my team is and only satisfied when I know my team understands and executes every day across the sports spectrum. Forget about keeping up with technology, which I continually learn, and forget about the millions and tens of millions of viewers watching and experience all that my team and I create. If my team is happy, valued, and feel comfortable and confident with what they are doing and how they execute creativity, I could be working in the widget industry and I would be happy. I just happen to be working in a sports production facility, which is on the top of its game and very progressive, and that gives a damn about its people, empowers them to make a difference, and pays commensurate to the work created. The totality of this is a huge win in my book.
Amazing. Now, Scott, before we run out of time here, what advice would you give to somebody aspiring to pursue a career in post-production, specifically in sports media like yourself?
It's great. Certainly. Learn software. Learn aesthetics of music, effects, Tutorials, they're ubiquitous online. YouTube, you can look up anything you want. Practice and hone your skills. Get into any environment, local, regional, national, it doesn't matter, and get experience on not only editorial processes, but the industry itself. How does any place work? At the local level, a lot of correspondents edit their own items and news. Digital.com companies have predators, producer and editor, where you do both. On a national level, where you come from with experience as an editor from somewhere else, millions of eyeballs are watching, and you have to have a good personality and excellent at your craft. So get to know how the industry works. Ask alumni from IC to talk about their jobs. If a professional is given the opportunity to talk and you show an interest, you can learn a slew about that particular workflow or their jobs, and make clear your deep interest and commitment. And basically, listen. There's a lot of information, especially for college students, whether they're getting an internship during the summer or whether they're getting a job afterwards. A lot of information out there. All they have to do is show that they can listen and be there on a moment's notice, and the rest will just happen.
Amazing. And Scott, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you want to make sure that we add in here before we close out?
Yes. Be your authentic self. I know it sounds cliche. I know it sounds silly. I'm a hiring manager, Lucas. I hire people. I interview people. I turn people away. And I say, welcome to NBC Sports. The best candidates are the ones that are genuine, that smile, that are vulnerable with me, that I have a connection with. Be yourself. And if you find yourself in an interview that isn't working well, that's okay. It's a learning experience, just as well as a learning experience would be if you were successful in getting the job. Be yourself. Why would you want to work in a job that is not allowing you to be yourself? Get out, run far away from that, and allow you to find that company that will accept you for you. And that's across the spectrum, not just television production.
Amazing. Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining us. Your stories and your advice have been incredible today.
Ah, Lucas, my pleasure. Thank you for listening.
It's been great. And folks at home, you don't have to wait for our next episode to get career guidance. You can visit drop-in hours every weekday from 11 to 2 in Mueller Faculty Center 101. I'm Lucas Kaufman, and this is the Career Corner.